Proper Sport at 6. The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Hello, welcome along to the FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire. Sam and Tom with you for the next hour. Plenty to talk about, including the lack of movement over at Elland Road. Leeds United still not confirming a new manager. Gary Monk's got himself in the hot seat at Middlesbrough. We'll talk all about that. We bid an emotional farewell to Huddersfield Town this evening. The Premier League fixtures out tomorrow, so we're officially handing Town over to the Premier League. We'll talk about all the Yorkshire clubs as well. The EFL involvement in England's under-20s historic World Cup win. We'll discuss new managers for Hull City. Sunderland as well look like they're about to make an appointment. There's a Chinese consortium interested in buying Newcastle United as well. We'll find all about that. And the Summer Transfer Centre is officially open, I think it's fair to say. So Tom will bring us all the latest bits of movement out and about. All that and more on the FL 72. Yes, welcome along. If you're tuning in on Facebook this evening, we are live. You can go and watch the show on Facebook. We've got a new look, Tom.
New look, isn't it?
Split screen. Ooh, it's the future.
That's
it's
weird.
The future. Yeah, I don't know if I like it. I don't know. I keep
we're really in
my
the camera, aren't we?
I've got like an itchy nose since I've been on that camera. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know if people are going to want to tune in when our face is right there. Like, usually we're quite far away.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So this is like kind of proper telly.
Yeah, it's the future. It's the future.
Yeah, let us know what you think. I should have had an haircut for the show. I've got one booked in on Friday, ahead of my holidays next week. You've not had an haircut. You're off on holiday tomorrow. You've not had an haircut, have you? What's going on?
I was thinking about a pre-holiday haircut, but I don't really know any hairdressers since I've moved, so I thought I'll just not do it.
Just walk into any.
Yeah, but
you're in Cass, aren't you? If anyone in the Castleford area
has got
an option for Tom where he can go and get his hair trimmed, just let us know.
Yeah,
let us know tonight.
There you go. It's a show where everyone gets something, really, ideally. So, yeah.
Indeed, yes. Suggestions for a barber or a hairdresser? What are you?
I'm more hairdresser, not barber.
You're like Danny Parkinson.
Yeah.
How much do you pay? What's the haircut for you?
Well, I get back in Sheffield, I got... It's £13.
13 quid student prices as well.
Yeah.
13 quid.
Yeah, but look at it. That's for the cameras, little hair swish there.
Wow. I don't know what that was. No one's ever done a hair swish like that. We've got to clip that out.
Yeah, I've made a terrible mistake, haven't I? Made a terrible mistake.
That's going to haunt you forever. we've got it in full close-up as well.
It's glorious.
On Facebook
welcoming
more,
in our new camera view.
From Tom. But yeah, if you are in the Castleford area, just give him a suggestion, preferably somewhere cheaper than 13 quid. Tenner for this.
Yeah, but how often do you get your haircut?
Probably every 4 or 5 weeks.
I don't go that often. I let mine grow really long, don't I? And then I just kind of cut it. So it's like, what's the word? Quarterly? Is that four?
Quarterly.
Yeah.
That,
like that a year.
We'll get on to Tom's
pronunciation of things
as well. Yeah, because Leeds United still don't have a manager.
Yeah.
We'll kick off with Leeds. Obviously, Gary Monk's gone to Middlesbrough. We'll talk about that very shortly. One of the people originally linked with the job was Claudio Ranieri.
Yes.
He has today kind of officially, not officially, become the new manager of...
Nantes.
Nantes, according to Tom.
Oh, is that not right?
Yeah, your French pronunciation is pretty awful, because earlier in the season we had... Philippe Montagnier, of course, Nottingham Forest. You got that awfully wrong.
I don't know what you're about. Sorry,
Nantes as well. We'll just call it.
What's it actually pronounced?
I go Nantes. Mm-hmm. I'm going there on Tuesday.
I fly to Nantes
every time.
Well,
I
you'll be
France.
Able to find out.
Yeah, well, that's how they say it. So that's what
I've been calling it. Nantes all day because I thought it was just exactly how it was spelt.
Yeah. Tom is off to Las Vegas tomorrow as well. So any Las Vegas tips for him as well. Get those in on the show tonight. But yeah, no manager at Leeds, bringing it back to football, which is the reason we're here 4 minutes into the show. Yeah. I never mentioned it yet.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
Yeah. Still no movement. Is that a concern? You weren't overly concerned.
Yeah.
You're kind of maybe on the turn a little bit. But what are you thinking now?
I think because publicly there's been no forward movement. You kind of got a few questions, but you just don't know what's going on behind the scenes, really. It's quite tight-knit in terms of what you can find out from Leeds. So, yeah, if there has been movement this week, then fair enough. There's been reports come out today that next week will be when the appointment's actually made, but that's got to be the absolute time limit, because surely as time goes on, I think the expectation's rising. Because it's taken this long, or it's taking longer and longer, the kind of expectation is going to be, well, it's going to be a bigger, better manager every time. Because if it's coming to it and you're looking, down the betting, and, you know, some of the names that have been linked, of course, we know what the market's like. But, you know, Phil Parkinson has backed into it, for example. If that's the announcement and you're going, well, how many weeks has it taken for us to get that as a Leeds fan? You're thinking, not too sure. But then if they do get, for example, a Sanchez Flores, then you're going, well, okay, I can understand why it took the time it did. But it's just as the time is going on, I think the expectation's rising and rising.
Yeah. I just, from the Phil Parkinson thing,
I don't know where that's come from.
I just can't get my head around that. I just can't see why Andrea Radrazzani will come into Leeds, buy 100% stake, let Gary Monk go,
yeah,
and then get Phil Parkinson.
Yeah, it's a bizarre one, and I can't imagine the people around him, his new directors, advisors, etc., would be going, oh, look at this guy, because they must talk in football, even if they're not as well connected in the English game, because we spoke before about their connections in Spain, everywhere else. You can't see them sitting down and saying, Phil Parkinson, he'd be one to consider, because I just don't know where you get that link from. I think, you know, like I said, as kind of the time is going on, if it is a Phil Parkinson, it's going to be a lot of unhappy people, really, despite, you know, if it gets results or not. So, yeah, I think it's just the expectation now. Like, the names being linked to Sanchez Flores, I mentioned, is one that's kind of been thrown about a bit recently. That would be quite a good appointment.
Yeah, a lot of people liking that. Can you see anything but a European manager coming in to manage Leeds next season?
I think it depends, really. Of course, there's managers over here who aren't English that I could still see maybe coming in. But it wouldn't surprise me. You just got to look at the people around him. Rabrizani's background, the people around him's background. They've got connections in Spain and Italy, around Europe. You can understand if they're still studying the English market, if they're still studying the English game, where, you know, they could go, well, we've got someone, for example, back in Spain who's done this, done that. He could be a good fit here. It's quite an easy link, kind of link for them to go down. And, you know, I don't think Leeds fans will mind. As long as he gets results, I don't think it's really going to matter where the manager comes from. As long as they can come in and do well, get the team into the playoffs, I think that's the bare minimum this year. After last season, just missing out, that's got to be the bare minimum. I don't think they'll care where the person comes from, as long as they achieve a top six finish at least.
The betting market as it stands, Alan Pardew, still favourite in some quarters, but very cold in the market. It seems like there is absolutely no clue in this market who's going to be the next Leeds manager. You mentioned Sanchez Flores, he's the second favourite. Victor Sanchez as well. Yapstam's obviously gone cold since his comments at the weekend. What did you make of those comments from Yapstam about, through a virus agent, wasn't it?
Saying
Leeds not big enough for him.
I think it's pure. There's been a lot of words said between Leeds and Reading, and Yapstam and Gary Monk especially. It all kind of came from that victory, that 2-0 win for Leeds over Reading, and that's where a lot was made of the style of play. That's where the boring Reading from Leeds really came about, because they weren't that impressive. Leeds won, they had 23% possession, whatever it was, and won the game. And I think since then, it's been a bit of words. A lot of words were made up until the return leg, when Leeds went down there and lost. So I'm not overly surprised. But for Yapstam, you've got to look and say, well, at the moment, why would he depart Reading to join Leeds? What's in it for him that isn't at Reading? at the moment. You can look at the club size, but in terms of the teams, is he really going to be making any gains by going?
Probably not. And obviously with his background at Manchester United, there is going to be no leeway for him if he came in. He did come in and went off to a slow start. A few comments coming in on Facebook. Richard Nicholson says, the trend is to get a German manager. And just looking down the list here, which we said, the betting list, no one seems to have a clue whatsoever. There is one particular bookmaker with one name that nobody else has got, a German manager, Hans Wolf.
Hans Wolf.
Hans Wolf, who is the manager of Stuttgart. He's a young manager, 36 years old, former.
Seems to be quite a few young managers around in Germany at the moment. But the Stuttgart links, Alexandru Maxim, has been heavily linked with Leeds, and I think he's at Stuttgart, attacking midfielder. So there has been links, but Leeds have had a German manager before, and Uwe Rosler, haven't they? I suppose it was a bit of a different background. It's not exactly like it came from Germany, but yeah, I don't know. You'd imagine Leeds would have some connections in Germany.
Yeah, he's been part of the Borussia Dortmund younger sides, through to assistant coach of the reserve team before getting his break as head coach of Stuttgart, September 2016.
It's interesting.
They got a promotion to the Bundesliga.
Yeah.
Bundesliga champions. Bundesliga 2.
Yeah, it's...
Andy Lawson says.
Yes. Yeah, it's an interesting one, whether someone like that would be tempted to leave Stuttgart to come to Leeds. The one I can think of recently was Sami Hyypiä when he went from Leverkusen to Brighton. I think that's probably the most recent Bundesliga to championship I can kind of think of, but... or directly, if you don't look at, you know, David Wagner, etc. Yeah, that's an interesting one, to see if they'd look towards somewhere like that, whether that's going to be, you know, you imagine on the short list of four, you'd hope at least two are quite ambitious ones where they know if one doesn't come, they can fall back on the other. Maybe that's, you know, someone like that's one of the two where they do look at maybe a lower-end Bundesliga side, mid-table Bundesliga side, because... It's hard to comment at the moment because you don't know. It's not like under Chiellini where there was kind of, you know, he looked abroad, but then the pattern seemed to be an English coach, someone who's got history here. We don't really know much about Rad Brezani. This is his first managerial appointment. Which way is he going to go about it? If he does go to Europe, does go to England, but I was speaking about this earlier, just you look at the market currently in England... seems to be a bit of a split between managers who are maybe the level above Leeds in terms of Premier League standard and the ones who are maybe a bit below. And there seem to be a real good mix of Championship standard managers available. So maybe they'll have to look at Europe.
Yeah, I think definitely a European manager will be coming in. But yeah, there's one name there to potentially watch if you're into having a flutter and that kind of thing. 22-1 you can get on Hans Wolf, one bookmaker just carrying him as the manager. Let's have a look on Twitter. Philip Million points out that Leeds did a German manager in Rosler.
Yeah, exactly.
Didn't go too well. Simon Grayson, a no-brainer, says Mark Gledhill. Philip Million, by the way, having a do at your T-shirt saying, Kasabian, where's the Kaisers, Tom?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, should have, really, especially as I knew we were talking about Leeds, but... sorry.
Philip also says he'd give it to Pep Clatet so he can carry on where Leeds left off last season.
I think Pep Clatet may come into the frame if we're getting towards maybe the 20th of June and there's not been a clear candidate emerged or clear talks, because then you're looking at, you've got to think of your next season. If you're thinking this time next week, you know, and no one's in, you've got to be looking at Clotet and saying, well, for continuity's sake, maybe he's the person to come in, because even though it's late, he's someone who was there last year, was heavily involved. By the sounds of it, wants to stick around the club. Leeds think quite highly of him. So maybe Clotet comes more into the frame if, you know, time goes on, nothing's going, he may not be the first choice. But if he does come in, you trust him to do a job, I think.
Yeah, I don't see there being much panic from Andrea Radrizzani. First appointment, as you said before, obviously the fans have been in this situation time and time again. No manager into the summer, worrying about transfers. But I think this time around with him, I thought Chiellino last year had probably one more opportunity to try and get Leeds promoted
into
the Premier League, so maybe a bit more of a rush there. But I think Radrizzani's got a good 2-3 year plan to get Leeds back in the Premier League, so I think he'll be too worried about whether this goes on into next week. Want to obviously get it done sooner rather than later, but I don't see mass panic where they just chuck in a quartet for the sake of it. They'll keep going down
potentially
a
line. Again, the thing is, we just don't really know much about Radrizzani. You know, we can look into his background, what he's done in his career and business, but we don't really know too much about him in terms of football. That could be the case. He does seem very calm about it. There doesn't seem to be an element of panic cropping, and maybe from some supporters going, you know, we need to get a move on. And I understand it's not an overnight process, but you can't wait forever for it. You know, you've got to look at what point, you know, do you set a date, and then after that date, you're starting to really impact next season. Because people point at Monk this year and say, you know, look, he came in late and that had a knock-on effect on the start of last season. And that was on the 3rd of June, I think, he was appointed. So if people are saying, you know, we kind of lost August because of that, at what point do you start saying, well, we're going to lose August, potentially September, potentially October, if you're going on that argument? It just seems a bit weird, but there doesn't seem to be much panic about anyway.
Gary Monk likes getting jobs in June. He just got his new one over at Middlesbrough. We'll play you a selection of his press conference now, where he does talk about his time at Leeds United, speaking to our man Michael Waydock.
Gary, I understand obviously you want to look forward to your new challenge, but how do you look back at your season at Elland Road?
Look, I loved it. It was a situation where I went into Leeds and fantastic club. We all knew about that. Got to work straight away and did many things. And like I said, my only thought at that point last season was to be at Leeds and to continue at Leeds. But once you go through that new process, new ownership, once, you know, after the season had finished and 3 or 4 weeks later, when I eventually got to speak to the ownership there and have those discussions, it was one of them where it didn't align with how I felt I needed to be able to work at my best and be able to take that club forward, and that happens. You know, you have to, from my point of view, is disappointed at the time, of course, but this is football. It moves on, and like I said, the fans were fantastic down with me. It's a great club. There's a lot of good people at that club, and like I said, I wish them well. And as I said when I left, I hope that club can get back to the Premier League. It's a club that deserves to be in the Premier League, but. A lot of good people and a really good time there.
At the time, did you want to sit down earlier on in the season and discuss your future?
Look, it's happened now. You know, it's moved on. I don't want to get into the details. You know, I've got a lot of respect for that club, and like I said, it was a really good time for me there. I thought it would carry on. It hasn't, for whatever reasons. Then obviously going into the next phase of what I needed to do, which is to find a club with aligned with my ambition and the right way to do it and how I felt that I could get forward, and Middlesbrough for sure was that club, and that's why I'm here. That's why I'm determined to do well here and help this club go move forward again.
What sort of reception do you think you'll get back at Elland Road?
It doesn't matter, you know, people have different opinions. My only focus is on moving forward and Middlesbrough and doing the best job that I can for this club, the players, everyone connected, the fans at Middlesbrough. I'm looking forward to working with them and trying to give them a side they can be proud of.
Is finance available, Gary? Was that a key part in you making the decision to come here?
Well, of course, it's all part of it. I think, like any club, there'll be budgets and things and this to be done, but of course, the club's in an extremely healthy position. But it's also in a position where they're very clever and very shrewd. It's not about how much money you spend, it's about how well you spend what you've got. And we only do things that are going to help this group that are already here, you know, add the quality that, if it helps the group. So I'm the type of manager I've shown before that it's not about spending money. And I think if you look back through my 10 years at clubs, I've spent a lot of money. I've tried to be clever with recruitment and only get players that are ever going to help the ones that are going to be here. So, that's how the club will work, and I'll work with the club. And like I said, it's an exciting time. It's a challenge for all of us, and we're going to be competing against clubs that will be like-minded and thinking the same. So, yeah, just looking forward to it and excited to get to start and starting straight away.
From Barnsley to Bradford, the FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Gary Monk there speaking at his first press conference as the new manager of Middlesbrough. Not concerned by the reaction he'll get at Elland Road. Tom, has he done the right thing, do you think, looking back now for his personal situation to leave Leeds?
I think for his personal situation, it's difficult to say because I can see both sides of the argument where I think Monk's obviously got some part of the blame, Leeds have got some part of the blame. I think it obviously boils down to long-term stability. You've got to look at him and say, well, Leeds and Middlesbrough are going to be promotion rivals in theory next year anyway. In theory, they should be going against each other for promotion. Middlesbrough are willing to offer him a three-year deal. Leeds' offer originally up front was 12 months, which I think was based on the start and the end of last season. That's kind of what it cropped down to. They didn't want to give him longer. If Leeds made the playoffs, they probably would have given him a two-three-year deal. But it's difficult to say. I can understand the fans' frustration because Leeds fans obviously took to Monk very well. Monk seemed to take to the Leeds fans. It seemed very clear, you know, the day before or 2 days before he resigned, Rad Rezani was coming out and saying, yeah, you know, we've got it sorted. We're going to be offering him a deal. You know, it should be done by Friday, etc. And then the shock resignation. But at the same time, if Middlesbrough are coming in saying, here's a three-year deal, here's this transfer funds, you're working under Gibson, who, you know, he's probably one of the best chairmen in English football. You can understand why it's, you know, quite an attractive prospect to him, where he'll know where he'll be in the long term. If, you know, if you're only getting 12 months, it's not just 12 months, it's the fact that they could get rid of you halfway through if it's not going as well, because, you know, there's not too much to pay out if things aren't going right. It's just little things like that. It's hard to, you know, say definitely yes, definitely no, but you can see why it was an attractive prospect to him. And at the end of the day, Leeds shouldn't have left it until the end of May. That's what it comes down to. It's not like it's a completely new owner who's come in. It's someone who's been there since January. We all knew that he'd be taken over 100% in the summer. So that's when before they should have sat down and said, look, this is what we're going to do. You know, they should have been, even if it's provisional talks just to get to know each other, then so be it. I just think leaving it this late, you're opening yourself up to the likes of Middlesbrough, the likes of Palace coming in and saying, oh, look, we can give you this, we can give you that. You can understand why he's going to have his head turned by it.
Mm. Do you think probably with the way that obviously the season panned out for Leeds, slow start in August, but then from September onwards right the way till February, it was great Leeds contention. Yeah. And then slowly but surely your performances dropped. January obviously wasn't great in terms of Gary Monk getting what he probably needed to keep Leeds up there, but slowly but surely the wheels came off and they finished seventh. The new owners coming in at that point in January, and all he's seen pretty much is that
it's steady, difficult
steady decline. So his judgments are of Gary Monk's Leeds falling apart and falling out of the playoffs.
I think Rad Rezani though, he's kind of about since last summer. So he'd kind of, I think that's when they bought him in.
On a day-to-day kind of basis,
but,
though,
yeah, not
getting,
a day-to-day,
into the,
yeah.
Into the club and seeing things around and being directly involved.
But then surely if it's a results-based, he must have been keeping tabs on the club. He must have been keeping tabs going, Leeds are third. Well, they're doing well, etc. But at the same time, it's a case of is it better it happened now? Because the suggestion seemed to be, you could get the impression that maybe the two of them didn't see eye to eye. Maybe if you look back and watch some of Monk's press conferences where he talks to him, it wasn't exactly like, you know, they seemed to get on great. It seemed to be just a case of, you know, I've spoke to him, etc. So maybe it was better that it happened now than, you know, Monk stayed on. The two of them would have fallings outs, etc. It wouldn't go to plan. It wouldn't go well. And then in February, where Leeds are second for argument's sake, Monk has a similar situation to Aitor Karanka, where he has a bit of a falling out, leaves the team, and then it could damage them. You know, it's just all what ifs, but you'd prefer, if they're not going to see eye to eye, for it to happen now than, you know, mid-season, where it could, you know, seriously damage, you know, a promotion run even further. At least now they've got, the summer to get someone in to give them however long they've got to then give it a go next season.
This time next year, Gary Monk be leading Middlesbrough into the Premier League, do you think?
It's difficult, I think, because obviously we don't know what money they're going to spend, who's going to stay, who's going to go. So on paper, you think they're going to be up there. In definitely playoffs, but you don't know what
they
the
come down strong, obviously. Yeah. Nothing they'll lose, probably too many, really. They've got many standout players that I think Premier League teams, one or two of the younger ones, but other than that, I don't think there's...
They've got quite a good championship group,
yeah,
haven't
they? There's too many that Premier League teams are going to be trying to desperately get back into their squad. And then, obviously, with parishute payments, you mentioned Gibson, his being supportive chairman. I think they've got to be up there, haven't they? The target's got to be top two for Gary Monk next year.
I think it's good for Monk, though, that Gibson's quite patient with his managers. So maybe if stuff doesn't go as well, you know, there was talk of Chiellino preparing to sack Monk back here at the start of the season. I don't think Gibson would do that. So if they do have a rough spell where they drop down a bit, you're going to expect him to back Monk to get them back up. But yeah, it's going to be interesting for Monk. Because you think if he's had his time at Swansea, which was pretty good, you know, how well they did. He came to Leeds, did well. If he truly is, you know, going to be a great manager, because he's, you know, pretty still inexperienced when you think about it compared to the managers who are going to be up there around him. This is going to be a big test for him as well, because I think the expectation is now on Middlesbrough to get promoted. Whereas at Leeds, they can say, you know, we're going to go for top six, but you look at the previous few seasons, you're going, well, it doesn't look like that. You know, he finished 17th, 16th, 15th, whatever. So I think this is going to be a big test for him, because now people are going to be expecting Middlesbrough to be top six, playoffs minimum, promotion, you know, pushing for the title. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how he deals with that pressure. It's like kind of a new situation for him, and you know, I think that'll tell us kind of how good he is as a manager.
Indeed, we'll take a quick break on the FL 72, but when we come back, we'll be talking Huddersfield Town as we bid an emotional farewell to the Terriers on the FL 72. We'll be back in a couple of moments.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back. Still 30 minutes of the show to go. You listen to the FL 72. Sam and Tom here until 7. Then we've got the evening show with Tom Maguire. He's just come back from holiday. We say goodbye to Tom Carnoff tonight. He's off to Las Vegas for a week. We're also, Tom, saying goodbye to Huddersfield Town.
You've played the music. Right, okay.
Andy Lawson told me to play the music.
Yes. Yes.
This is on the way out. It's there. Just got it for you.
I'm not saying you have to play it, but I've prepped it for you. So, yeah. There we go.
Thanks to our producer, Andy Lawson.
Unofficial.
But yeah.
Yeah, they're going.
Sad time for us. Exciting times for Huddersfield. Off to pastures new. They're going to
It's tomorrow, isn't it?
Things.
The official waving goodbye. It's like a movie.
This is the last show, isn't it?
Like the ship's sailing away. We're still on the dock going,
bye.
In Victorian dress.
Bye.
But yeah, they're off to obviously Premier League fixtures tomorrow. I'm going for Chelsea away for them.
I think
they'll get hit with the champions away, because they seem to like to do that. Like the underdog, the least promotion side. I reckon they'll get Chelsea away. And I reckon they'll have to play away first, because I reckon they're going to get the stadium upgrades in time. Little things like that.
Possibly. Yeah, I don't know. I think they'll get a good one at the John Smiths.
They want a good one early on, don't they?
Yeah, you need that.
You want a Man United and Arsenal, someone to turn up early days, don't you? Third weekend.
It always happens, doesn't it? You get a... Stop playing that now.
Thank you.
Because that's what we're talking about. Positive things. How can we play sad music when they've just coined in 180 million?
And yeah, exactly.
And they're going to be playing teams like Chelsea next
season. Terrible times. But yeah, I reckon I'll get someone away early on or first day. And I think it'd be good for them. I think maybe, you know, they're going to struggle, but you've got to play them at some point. So why not play a Chelsea, a Man United, an Arsenal, a Liverpool, etc., when the optimism's all there? You know, you want to play them early on, because it happens with most promotion sides. If you get into November, December, you're struggling, results aren't going your way, and then you've got Chelsea rolling up, or you've got to go to Stamford Bridge, you might struggle a bit. I think, you know, it'd be good for them to get a few good teams up early on, because the atmosphere, the optimism's going to be there. They're going to be raring to go. So, yeah, I'm going to be watching Huddersfield with plenty of interest as well, because I can't quite pinpoint how they're going to do this or next season. I just don't know, because we don't know what the recruitment's going to be. We just don't know much about it yet until kind of it's all got going.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. The loan issue for me is still the big thing, making sure they get as many of those players back as possible. Still a lot of speculation there around the likes of Aaron Moy. I know Danny Ward said last week, once the internationals are over, he's looking then to get his future sorted in respect to whether he goes back to Liverpool or maybe another loan season at Huddersfield. But that seems to be the goalkeeping situation, seems to be where there is quite a few rumours. A few people have been like saying, oh, well, Joe Hart and all that kind of thing.
I can't. The thing is, though, it depends. I can see them maybe getting a big name if they're a free agent, but you can't see him throwing a lot of money on one individual player. Like, I can't see him spending more than £10 million on a single player.
No, but maybe a loan or something like that for the season.
Yeah, but then it depends. With the likes of Joe Hart, you're going to see clubs trying to get him permanently, aren't you? Where, I don't know.
Where does Joe Hart go, though, if he wants to stay in the Premier League? Obviously,
West Ham have been linked to him, haven't they, I think?
West Ham
seems to be a bit of a Man City, like, kind of...
They got Sabaleta, did they?
Yeah, so it seems to be going. They've been linked with Iheanacho as well. Seems to be kind of a bit of a drop-off point for Man City, but... Yeah, I don't know with the goalkeeping situation, because if you get Danny Ward back on loan, you can't get another Liverpool player on loan, and you've got to be thinking they may be looking at, I don't know, a Ben Woodburn type player, maybe. He was, you know, young, upcoming, needs Premier League experience. Maybe they could get someone like that. But with this one club loan rule, I suppose you've got to think more tactically. You're looking at Chelsea as well. They've got a couple from there, how they approach that. It's going to be an interesting kind of window for them, but you've got to be thinking they're going to want some of these players permanently. If it costs them a bit, then it costs them a bit. But, you know, you don't want them to have a storm in season and then find out season after next you stay in the Premier League, but four of your players can't stay with you because they're wanted at the parent clubs.
Phillips going for City away for Huddersfield. Had a few newly promoted teams on the first day. Tammy Abraham, he's saying, for Huddersfield.
That'd be good. That'd be a very good pickup. But again, it's your loan limit, isn't it? It's Chelsea. Then you've got a choice of, you've got to pick one of Izzy Brown, Casey Palmer, or Tammy Abraham, because I don't think they're going to be prepared to sell Tammy Abraham yet. It seems to be weird, even though he's not going to play, I just can't see him selling them yet. But then I could see him maybe get selling off Palmer and Izzy Brown. So, yeah, it's difficult. This whole loan rule in the Premier League's a bit different to the Football League. It's kind of an interesting one to watch.
How do you think Naki Wells is going to do in the Premier League?
I wouldn't say he's going to struggle, but I think he's going to be overly comfortable. We said it so much, if Huddersfield had a prolific striker, they could, you know, they've got promoted, it don't matter in the end, but maybe they could have gone up automatically, we'll never know. I think a prolific striker in the Premier League might be the difference between promotion and promotion, staying up and relegation. And you just can't see Naki Wells bringing that kind of prolific form to a team. So you can see him staying around, but you can't see him being a starting striker. Surely, you know, maybe someone off the bench, he might have a better impact there, but I think they might struggle for goals, certainly from the strikers, if they're going to run with him as their starting striker next year.
As well as the loans and keeping that part of the team together, the promotion team, it is goals where they need to find. You've got down here quite at Wednesday, but Huddersfield, one of the teams linked with Fernando Forestieri. Do you think that'd be a decent fit?
I think in terms of his football ability, yes, but I'd have questions about his personality and his how he is. He comes across as someone who can be a bit of a negative influence if things aren't going your way. It's happened before at Wednesday. No, it's happened before. It happened on his move to Leeds when he was going to join Leeds. You know, do you want to introduce someone like that to a quite close, tight-knit group that get on very well, have had success this year, because they're not by far the best players in the league, but as a group, they're one of the best teams. Do you want to introduce someone who may be a bit of a negative influence? You know, I'm not saying he definitely will be, but you're going to be looking at Huddersfield next year and saying, well, they're not going to be winning anywhere near as many games next year. They're going to be losing a few games. it's going to be a real test of character, and I think they need to be looking at, you know, good characters as much as good players for next season.
And for Sheffield Wednesday,
all
quiet at the moment.
It's a bit quiet, yeah.
Yeah. Do you think they'll do much business this year? They've done a lot over...
Yeah.
Do they need to get quite a few out, do you think, before just to balance things up, before they maybe look at that one, maybe just one or two gems that they need
maybe,
now, rather
yeah.
than keep signing players?
They've had a lot of transfers over the past two summers, or past four windows, so... Yeah, you can't see them doing too much. Of course, Jordan Rhodes becoming permanent is going to be a big chunk of that. They obviously, I think the loan to permanent deal that they did was part of financial fair play, etc. Do they need to do anything, though? That's the thing. Do they really need to add too much? Maybe one or two more players of quality, but you can't, you know, especially the striking department, you're going to add more strikers to that. You're going to, you know, the likes of Gary Hooper, Stephen Fletcher, who start to become fringe players then. How do you keep them happy when they really should be starting strikers in the Championship? So, yeah, you can't see them doing too much, but maybe one or two, but they don't need to go on a mass spending spree like they have done before.
I agree with you there. Do you think they'll be challenging? Where do you think Sheffield Wednesday, at this point, for next season? We've talked about the likes of Middlesbrough coming down.
Yeah.
So the Leeds a little bit unsure at the moment what's going to happen there. Wednesday, having got themselves into the playoffs again, obviously a lot more expectation on them last season. This time around, what do you think it's going to be? Do they have to really go for the title? Should they be going for the automatic spots? Would playoffs again be another successful season, given that this is the third season now under new ownership?
I think their promotion is going to be the expectation now. I think him and the owner get on very well. I think they've got a really good relationship. But at the end of the day, if they're not going to get promoted, how much longer are they going to give him? So for Wednesday, you're going to be expecting them to be challenging top two. They've got to be challenging automatic now. They made playoffs 2 years in a row, so the automatic kind of next step up is to try and get automatically promoted. Whether they will or not, I'm not too sure. The teams coming down this year aren't maybe as strong as the teams that came down last year, or in theory anyway. Kind of this year, we're, as a league, probably worried about more about the teams coming up than teams coming down, but are Sheffield United and Bolton and Millwall going to be challenging automatic? Probably not, so that would work in Wednesday's favour. So, yeah, you got to be expecting top two from Shawley. I think that's just kind of the natural step from playoffs to trying to get up automatically.
On Facebook, we've got someone watching from Greece this evening.
Mm.
George from Greece. I'm not going to ask you to pronounce his last name.
Oh, okay.
You struggled with Nantes before, so I don't think you're getting George's last name, but welcome to you tonight, George. Philip's been back in touch. He's heard a rumour, I think a few people have mentioned this around the office. Huddersfield in for Chris Wood. Surely not,
yeah.
He says.
It seems to be, from what are just a rumour. I can't see Huddersfield Town spent. I can't see 15 million getting him, to be honest, in the modern market. I can't. You know, you look at 15 million, that's the going rate for a striker now. It's going to be a matter of time, maybe even this window, where £20 million is going to be the going fee for a Championship striker. Apparently it is just that, just a rumour that, A, the money they're going to spend, I can't see him spending 15, 20 million on a striker. And B, would Chris Wood fit Huddersfield Town? Probably not, with the style of play, the style of football they play. They probably want someone who's a bit more mobile, a bit like Naki Wells, but, you know, obviously that bit more prolific. So, yeah, I can't see that one. I just can't see it. It just doesn't seem to add up on both sides of the coin, really.
Indeed, stranger things have happened. We'll
don't curse
have
it.
The Summer Transfer Centre before the end of the show officially open now. Just a couple of quick comments coming in. One saying Wood not fit for Town. On Sheffield Wednesday, Liam Rowe says Carvajal needs to go. Now baffled at offering him a new contract. Two failed seasons with all the money he has spent. I thought he might go.
I thought he might go, but I think it's the relationship he has with the chairman that's kind of not saved him, but got him that extension. I do think it is this year, though. You've got to expect them to go up this year. And I think if it's not again, there's nothing more gutting than missing out on a promotion, but missing out on the playoffs. And obviously they've had the final defeat, which I don't think they played as well as they could have. Losing on penalties, that's even more gutting. So it's got to be this year for them, or you'd expect if they don't next summer, they'll be looking for a new boss.
We shall take another very, very quick break on the FL 72. We'll be back with you in 60 seconds' time.
Football chat and much more. The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Yes, welcome back. The Summer Transfer Centre is coming up before the end of the show this evening, where Tom will wrap up all of the latest transfer rumours. But one quick done deal.
Yes.
Tom, is David Stockdale's gone to Birmingham.
Yeah, David Stockdale joining Birmingham, which no secret that he was leaving Brighton, I think. But yeah, Birmingham seems a bit of a... not a bizarre one, but more of one that we didn't really expect. I think we expected him to come obviously further up north with his ties to Leeds and Yorkshire. But yeah, Birmingham seems a pretty good pickup for them moving into next season. Again, it probably wasn't a club that were linked with him, but yeah, Stockdale joining Birmingham. Not quite sure what deal they've given him. He's tweeted hashtag KRO, which is keep right on, which is Birmingham thing, which I keep reading as RKO, different thing. But yeah, joins Birmingham.
There we go. Is that the Harry effect?
I'd say so. Yeah, so...
So what about Birmingham then? We're talking about some possible promotion chances next season. Harry Redknapp, he's only there for one reason. He wants to get a team back in the Premier League. You can get the job done.
It's going to be difficult for Birmingham. What might work in their favour if they are to seriously mount promotion pushes that nobody will expect them, which means the pressure will be off them. But I think there's a lot of work to be done there. I think Redknapp, I'm sure he's a good fit in the short term. I'm not sure if he's a good fit in the long term. It might work out. Who knows? But yeah, it's going to be difficult to see them being promotion contenders at this point. Anyway, they could have a great summer. We could be sat here the day before the season and they could look a lot stronger than they do. But at this current time, you can't really see them challenging promotion despite, you know, having a Redknapp there who, in fairness to him, has got experience of doing it. Just, like I said, currently sat here mid-June, you just can't see it right now.
Around the 7-1 mark for promotion, Birmingham.
Obviously, you've only got three places to go for, and then you've got, you know, Middlesbrough under Monk, you've got Sheffield Wednesday, you've got Reading under Stam, the teams that missed out, Fulham as well, the teams that are in around Norwich, you're expecting after a bit of a rebuild to come much stronger. Villa, of course, have had their year. Leeds, if they can get a manager in. I just think there's teams in front of them that you fancy a bit more than Birmingham.
Yeah, looking at the odds, it is interesting because it is so tight, and you could pick many of these teams who have great seasons. The ones you mentioned there, the likes of Middlesbrough, you got Villa now under Bruce coming again, Fulham coming again, Norwich who had their reshuffle, not the greatest season for them, but they've still got a strong side. We mentioned Wednesday tonight, Derby again now under Gary Rowett. Will go again. Looks like they're going to sign George Boyd from Burnley, who played a lot of games last season, so a real coup if they can get that one done. Potentially Sunderland, not quite sure how they'll go, but again, money in the bank. Hull have now got a new manager. Wolves, Reading, could Brentford go again? Could Birmingham be a force under Harry? Could Sheffield United come up and do a great job? Well, Warnock?
Could anyone get promoted?
Exactly.
Warnock, could anyone?
At that, and we've mentioned 12 teams there, not even mentioned Leeds there at all. And you've got 12, 13 teams that you could all make a case for to be in the top six next season.
The two ones are Derby under... Derby, of course, under Rowett, but there, Curtis Davies joining. If George Boyd does join as well, I think that's two very, very good pickups that they've got there for virtually next to nothing. Wolves, this is the team probably that I'm most interested in for the Championship this season. And the way the club's kind of being run in terms of the transfers, etc., you can just see it going really well or really badly. I don't think there's going to be kind of a middle ground on it. That I think this kind of super agent running the transfers gamble is going to pay off great, or it's not going to pay off whatsoever. So I think, yeah, they're going to be kind of a team that to watch with interest and see how this system works next season.
Yeah. Mm. Never quite sure about the when they have to they make that kind of appointment with an agent doing it. From when they did it at Donny. What's the guy called? I can't remember. Willie Mackay.
Yes, yes.
They got him to do all the transfers.
That's what I mean. He
signed Hadji Diouf, didn't he?
Yeah, it's kind of like, well, is this agent going to be working just for himself? He's going to get all his clients. They could be great footballers, but doesn't mean they're going to make a great team. So, yeah, I can just see it going really well or really badly. I can't see there being a middle ground with this experiment that they're doing.
Indeed. Willie Mackay, super agent, was the headline. It wasn't.
England
under-21s with quite a bit of Football League representation.
Yes.
History. First World Cup for England since 66.
Yes.
As the under-20s lifted it in South Korea at the weekend.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit more about the Football League representation, but what an achievement.
Yeah, definitely. England under-20s, of course. There were Football League representation in terms of currently, but a lot of ex-players as well. You're looking at Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who scored the winning goal, of course, at Everton now, previously in the Football League at Sheffield United. Freddie Woodman, what a performance that was from him when you need a goalkeeper to turn up in a World Cup final. You need him to do, you know, something like that. So very interesting to see how he comes on next year, because his Newcastle future's kind of up in arms. Played at Kilmarnock, I think, for the second half of this season. So he's been playing first-team football, but you know, could we see him as maybe a championship starting goalkeeper next year? I think his stock's going to be a lot higher after a performance like that. Can't see him really having much of a future at Newcastle with kind of the way they're going, with the money they're spending. So, yeah, plenty of representation in there, and what a win, regardless of the age group, to see England win a World Cup. Still fantastic, no matter who it is. And, you know, it's good to finally see a team from England being world champions.
And, of course, the skipper,
Lewis Cook, of course, yes. So, watching, it's like a proud father moment, really, wasn't it? Oh, look at him go, taking England to the World Cup. But, yeah, it was great. It was very tense, especially when Venezuela got that penalty. The video ref system as well, that was interesting. Of course, gave the penalty, checked the video ref, then who confirmed the penalty. That was quite interesting. I didn't know they'd use video ref at the World Cup, but yeah, that was a tense moment when they got the penalty. It was, oh no, not like, come on. We were so close to doing it, but what a save it was to keep it out.
There you go, the future. And of course, the gaffer as well, Paul Simpson, made his name in the Football League, former Carlisle, Preston manager, been given that opportunity. But important now, you mentioned there, a lot of the players maybe have played in the Football League, either on loan or they've been bought by Premier League clubs now. But important, this doesn't become a lost generation.
Yeah,
that
wins
a World Cup and then spends the next 3 years rotting in Premier League reserve teams.
Yeah, definitely. I think we've got to look at this as it's great, it's fantastic, what an achievement, but there's no point in us kind of going, oh, well, it's good, we won a World Cup, yay, that's nice, put it in a trophy cabinet. We've got to go, well, hang on, seriously, we've got some talented footballers here. So, yeah, like you said, you can't let them rot away. They've got to be playing football just for their own personal development and for the sake of the national side. And, you know, it may be a spell where a few players don't make the senior squad straight away, but they play first team football, they play regularly, they come back a few years, and it'll help the team in the long run. So yeah, they've really got to kind of make the most of this.
The England team's been announced to play France, just the confirmation of the team. Burnley's Tom Heaton, go on Tom Heaton, in goal. Kieran Trippier,
former
Burnley
course,
player
yeah.
as well, now at Spurs, plays Phil Jones, John Stones, Gary Cahill, Brian Bertrand, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, Dyer, Sterling, Ali and Kane. So back three again for England tonight.
Yeah, it was talk of
Trippier and Bertrand bombing on.
It depends, because there was talk of Stones playing in holding midfield tonight.
Apparently
there was talk of him playing. Southgate mentioned about playing him hot. So whether it is four at the back with Stones in front, it's a bit of a deeper midfielder. But
with Dyer as well,
I don't know. I suppose this is the point of the friendlies, to a certain extent, to get a good result. But then if you're going to try it, you want to try it in a friendly as opposed to an actual, you know, qualifier where it could go horrifically wrong. So
Sky have gone with the back three.
Fair enough.
On their team. But we'll wait and see for kick-off later, England against France.
Mm-hmm.
But good to see some of those players getting a go. Finally, Tom Heaton gets a start for England. Kieran Trippier as well.
Season.
Does he need to go? Does he need to move from some Spurs? He plays, 20 games a season in Europe and the Cups and some games in the Premier League. But, of course, Kyle Walker in front of him.
It depends, because you can't see him shifting Walker, can you?
No, he would play for most teams.
He's still playing, isn't he?
He's still playing. But I think only because of the injuries maybe to Kyle Walker last season. Oh, yeah, as many games as he did, but surely...
You can't see him unseating Walker, can you? Purely because of, you know, his position anyway. So, yeah, it might be good for him to get a move on. Can't see him moving to the Football League, but you could see him definitely moving to a Premier League club and playing regularly.
Indeed, one of the best crosses of a ball you will see, Kieran Trippier. Anyway, let's move on. Hull City have got a new manager, another one you struggled to pronounce, and me apparently,
I'm
of course.
Lenoy, on this one.
Slutsky is the new manager of the Tigers.
Slutsky, I've been informed.
It's not what you said before, but
anyway.
But
it's not as fun.
No, it's not as fun. Got to be honest, never heard of him before last week's show that we did. He's now in the hot seat. A positive appointment, do you think? Or can we just not make up our minds at all? But it seems like a bit of a fire sale at Hull. Maguire, Robertson looks like they're on the way out now, as well as the ones that have already left.
It's tough to say. We don't know. Obviously, he's had no experience in England, but he's had a very good career over in Ukraine and Russia, I think. Managed the national team. I think he was in charge at the Euros last year, that Russia team that drew with England. Had a long spell at CSKA in Moscow before that as well, of course. One of the big European clubs, it's fair to say, from that part of the continent anyway. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how he does. His CV looks very strong. Again, there's no experience in the Championship, but will that come massively into play when, you know, the background he comes in into the game with, into the job with, in terms of his previous clubs? I don't know, but on paper, it looks to be a very solid appointment when, you know, we spoke before about the actual market available in England. Is it, you know, potential to look to Europe? And I think they've got one of the better European managers there, and even better that they've done it being a Championship club.
Indeed, we shall take our final, very, very quick break this one, because we've still got to fit in the summer transfer centre. We'll run out of time again, Tom.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire with Sam and Tom.
Yes, the final throws of the FL 72. Time for the summer transfer centre. It is open, and Tom, you have 80 seconds
we need
to tell
a bed
us all
for this.
About transfers. We do, very short.
We'll start a positive one for Leeds fans. Four Italian clubs reportedly set to battle it out and sign Leeds United defender Giuseppe Belushi. Can't remember off the top of my head, but I don't think many Leeds fans will care where he goes as long as he's not playing for Leeds next year. Moving on, Hull City, Fulham set to do battle with West Brom for Burnley midfielder Scott Arfield. Yeah, I think he might be a decent one to come back to the Championship. Wednesday, reportedly keen on securing a deal for Derby County captain Richard Keogh this summer. Be a very good pickup for them. Looking at Premier League minnows Burnley, set to rival Leeds United for the signature of experienced Norwich City midfielder Johnny Howson. At this current time, that would be a very good appointment for Leeds and the owner to get the fans on his side early on. Be very, very good. And then Everton, West Ham and Newcastle reportedly all interested in signing Brentford Jota as well. Since he's come back off loan, he's been fantastic for Brentford. It's going to be tough for them to keep hold of him. And yeah, wouldn't be surprised to see him in the Premier League next year.
Indeed, Tom, have a good break. He's off to Las Vegas. We might not see him again.
Maybe, who knows? If this is final, goodbye.
Yeah, he'll be married to an Elvis impersonator this time Thursday morning. Thanks for your interaction tonight. The FL 72 will be back next week.